The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Know Your Bible program. This program is brought to you each week by the David J. Lewis Evangelistic Association in conjunction with the Churches of Christ. Your speaker is David J. Lewis, the evangelist of the association.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way.
Said, go and preach the word to all the world. The Lord said, go and preach the word to all the world. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way.
Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, won't it be grand to hear him say,
good evening. This is John David Berlin for the Church of Christ welcoming you to the Know Your Bible program. We thank you for tuning our program in this week. The Churches of Christ in Morenci, Eloy, the Tonto Congregation in Phoenix, and the Church of Christ in Coquille, Oregon, take pleasure in bringing you another message from God's Holy Word. And now here is my grandpa, David J. Lewis.
Thank you, John David. Your grandmother and I are very proud of you. My friends, as lovers of God's Word, I know that you have your Bibles at hand. Let's open them to Paul's letter to the Romans and chapter 5. I will read verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This evening, we're going to begin a short series of the questions of Christian possessions. The question has often been asked, what is to be gained by being a Christian? There are several possessions that a Christian possesses that no one else can ever claim. In this short series, we will look at some of these. Jesus Christ lived in heaven on an equality with God. He chose to empty himself and descend to the world of man. When he did so, he took on the likeness of man, and as a man, he died on a cross in obedience to his Father for the reconciliation of all men. The venerable apostle wrote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. We also read, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Jesus died so that we would not have to endure the price for our sins. If we continue reading in Romans chapter 5, Paul continued, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. The peace that we have here with God comes through our obedient faith in Jesus Christ. This obedient faith in Christ reconciles us with God. Every one of us, upon reaching the age of knowing right from wrong, commits sin. As Adam, we create a gulf between ourselves and God. God cannot have company with sin or those that practice sin. The Messianic prophet wrote, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Paul wrote, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. As Paul later wrote to Rome, "For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness, for the wages of sin is death." Romans chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Now, through obedient faith in Christ, we are reconciled to God. We're reconciled because of our justification by faith in Christ. Paul wrote, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Romans chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. To Corinth he wrote, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And to Colossae, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the visible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all these things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and irreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from him, the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 23. Through our obedient faith in Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. As Christians, we're blessed with all things that is in God's power to give. Paul tells us, "For all things are yours." 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21. He also wrote, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. While in Athens, Paul declared, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeth that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. The greatest possession given to us by God is peace. We live in a tumultuous world. Everywhere we look, including the television and newspapers, we see turmoil. Nations are constantly at war with each other. The United States has troops stationed in many foreign nations. Our naval vessels are constantly at sea to protect the shores of our country and those belonging to our allies. Crime and violence catastrophic in many of our cities. Juvenile crimes roam city neighborhoods. Divorce is the accepted rule in most families and has been for multiple generations. Moses wrote, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. Although brothers may not physically slay their siblings, the bickering and animosity just comes short of that eventually. In 57 years of ministry, I have seen much turmoil among members of the Lord's church. And speaking of such things in the church, the Lord's brother admonished, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." James chapter 3 and verse 10. The Christian need not fall to the lack of peace in the world. The venerable apostle wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Then Paul proceeded to tell us how we can rejoice. He never implies that there will be peace in this life that has nothing to affect our happiness. As a matter of fact, joy is not a synonym for happiness. Joy is possessing the hope of the future because of the confidence in the providential promises of God through the divine events of history. We read, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Later, Paul wrote to this same church, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Paul's formula for peace in Christ is outlined when he wrote, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have heard and both learned and received, and the positive things of our life seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Philippians chapter 4, verses 5, 6, and 8 through 13. If one forgoes worry, pray about everything, be thankful while praying to God, asking for his blessings, think only on the positive things of our brethren as well as the events of our life, be content with what God allows to us, and use the power of Christ in all things, Paul says, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, and the God of peace shall be with you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 and 9. As Christians, we have peace with God because we, through faith and baptism, become heirs to God's promise to Abraham. We read, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ hath put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. The big fisherman speaking to Noah's family being saved by water concluded by saying, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Baptism makes one a child of God with a good conscience with God. After baptism, one is at peace with God. We have peace with God's rightness. John assures us that none of God's commandments are unreasonable. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Nothing about God's words or actions are unreasonable. Everything that God says or does is right. Being a faithful Christian, we need not fret about God's character. To the young evangelist, Paul wrote, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Those that doubt God's rightness need to heed the wise old king's words. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25 and chapter 14 and verse 12. Isaiah warns, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 through 21 and 23. Jesus said, "Strict is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14. When we are at peace with God, we accept and stand upon his rightness in all facets of our life. We have peace with God's truth. This is a great concept. We begin with what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John chapter 17 and verse 17. Jesus declared that God's word is God's truth. Jesus also wrote for our learning, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. The disciple whom Jesus loved informs us that Jesus is the Word that is God. The Word was God and became flesh and dwelt among men. Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus told Thomas, "I am the truth." John chapter 14 and verse 6. The point is that we as faithful Christians are at peace with what Christ says. One of the things that Jesus told the 11 shortly after his resurrection was, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. It is sad to say that many among us claiming to be Christians are not at peace with God's truth. They're not at peace with truth's plan of salvation. It was God's truth that said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark chapter 16 verse 16. So many are not at peace with God's truth and teach that Christ was somehow wrong when he attached baptism with salvation. They claim that all one needs is to ask Christ to enter the heart and the soul will be saved. Yet no one has ever cited any statement from God's truth to support this teaching. Therefore, they are at odds with God's truth and not at peace with God's truth. To the woman from Sychar, Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 and verse 24. Since worship to God is directed by God's truth, I must ask, where does God's truth authorize bringing any piano, organ, guitar, or any other musical instrument into the worship service? I can show you where God's truth sang, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30 and Mark chapter 14 and verse 26. Nowhere in the New Testament is there an example of anyone using an instrument of mechanical music in New Testament worship. Therefore, when a man-made musical instrument is used in worship, it is done without being sanctioned by God's truth. When the first note of such an instrument is played, the congregation has left peace with God's truth. Unless we hold to what God's truth is clearly stated, we're not at peace with God's truth. As faithful Christians, we have peace with God's providence. There are three great examples of peace with God's providence in the Scriptures. We start with Esther. And if I perish, I perish. Esther chapter 4 and verse 16. There was Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Accepting what God has planned for us makes for the greatest peace that God has provided for us. Paul wrote, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature is made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 28. Peace with God is described by Paul as he finished the chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 39. That is peace with God. This is David Lewis for the Church of Christ inviting you to visit us this week. In Phoenix, we're located at 1101 West Tonto Street. This is on the corner of 11th Avenue and Buckeye and less than 5 minutes from the freeway. Our day begins at 9:15 a.m. with Bible classes for all ages. This is followed at 10:30 a.m. by a period in which we sing and pray to the glory of God. At 6 o'clock p.m., we gather for another period of worship to God. There are Churches of Christ in your area that are in partnership with this program. For those in the Marinci area, stop by and worship with the Marinci Church of Christ. If you live in the Eloy area, I recommend the Eloy Church of Christ. If you're in Coquille, Oregon, visit the Church of Christ where you are a stranger only once. If you have a Bible question, or I may be of some service to you, please do not hesitate to call upon me at 480-209-6154. I'm at your beck and call anytime, day or night. If you would prefer, you may write to me at 2114 West Apache Trail, Suite 1, number 145 in Apache Junction, Arizona. Our zip code is 85120. If you would like a compact disc of this program or a CD of any other Bible subject, let your request be known, and I'll send you one at absolutely no cost to you. On October the 8th through the 12th, the Churches of Christ are conducting our annual Arizona Lectureship here in Phoenix. We have one theme for the entire week, with over 50 speakers each discussing a different aspect of that theme. All are invited and are welcome to attend. It's an enjoyable time of edification. Come out, join us, listen to the Word of God, study the Scripture cited, have some good, enjoyable fellowship with people of like-minded faith. I know that you'll be coming away blessed. Until we meet again at this same time next week, this is David Lewis saying that it is my sincerest wish that the good Lord bless you and keep you.
J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.